You have to wonder what it's like to live on Guam these days, with your island home the subject of international spear rattling, with nukes taking the place of spears. As North Korea continues to, in U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley's words, beg for war, and Guam sits in the supposed crosshairs, we're asking our Guam Public Radio colleague Jefferson Cronin what the mood is there. Hi, Jefferson. Thanks for talking with us.
Hey, my pleasure.
I'm assuming that part of dealing with this is keeping your sense of humor back there on Guam, yeah?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we're good at that anyway, but you really have to because it if you don't, it just the weight of it will just, you know, it's not healthy, you know?
Well, it becomes kind of a barrage. Does it get a lot of play in local news media there?
Well, to some extent. I mean, we keep an eye on it, you know, but we're so used to it. I mean, the threats are they're pretty regular and have been for a while, and so we're kind of used to it. Of course, all this testing going on and all that kind of thing makes us pay even more attention, but we're not really preoccupied with it, I don't think. We've gotten kind of philosophical about it, I think, and although there are people, of course, who are rattled by it, but I think most of us have a pretty even attitude about it. I think we're more worried about the economic impact at this point than anything else.
Well, for one thing, being preoccupied wouldn't do a lot of good, would it?
Well, no, of course not. I mean, we have absolutely no control over any of it, you know.
Well,
excuse me?
No, go ahead, Jefferson. Sorry.
Oh, no, it's all right. I just, you know, we're stuck between the world leaders here, and it's what I think is positive, and what a lot of people around here think is that Washington isn't directly addressing his threats to us anyway, and that I think is a positive thing. The last time a few weeks ago when we got all the national attention, you know, it was because of Washington, not Pyongyang. So I think we're kind of happy about that.
It was Washington who identified Guam as a target that last month.
No, actually, I mean, Kim Jong-un, he has identified us numerous times as a target, or as a potential target. It's the reaction of Washington last time that escalated it.
Oh, yeah,
and
fire and
turned
fury.
It into a big story, you know.
Right, right. Well, you mentioned the economic impact, and of course you have a sizable visitor industry there. How much of the economy is visitors on Guam?
Well, it's an enormous part of our economy.
Is it?
We have about 1.5 million visitors every year, mostly from Japan and South Korea.
Mm-hmm.
This is a huge part of our economic engine. The other part is the federal government, because so much of our island is owned and controlled by the military or the federal government, that is a huge part of our economic engine as well.
Sure.
But tourism is so important to us, and we've lost, in the last month or so, about 7,500 cancellations. We've had about 7,500 cancellations, and we've lost somewhere in the neighborhood of $9.5 million from the tourist industry just since the last big threat.
Over the space of roughly 4 or 5 weeks, yeah?
Right, and now all the final numbers aren't quite in yet.
Yeah.
These are estimates from our Guam Visitors Bureau, but really, obviously, it is having an impact. And ironically, when the president talked with our governor at that time, he was very excited about all of the tourism increase we were going to have because of all the publicity that we were getting.
The president?
That has certainly not panned out.
The president thought that? President Trump thought that you were going to get a bump in tourism?
Yes, absolutely. He was very excited about it.
Well, that's a. It would be an odd reason to go visit someplace, wouldn't it?
Yes, it certainly would. It certainly would be an odd reason, but. Well, you know, the old saying in PR, no publicity is bad publicity, but yeah, so far it hasn't really worked out for us in the tourism industry. But, you know, there's a lot of flexibility in that, and next month it could be completely different.
Well, I've always wondered about that no such thing as bad publicity line, but you're getting an opportunity to test it out. I'm just wondering what a long-term impact would be if this is not likely to stop anytime soon is the problem, Jefferson.
Oh, that is, absolutely. That is a big problem. And you know, there doesn't seem to be any end in sight to this. Certainly the saber rattling and all of that is going to continue. I don't know about the testing, certainly the political part of it is going to continue. And yes, of course, we are directly affected by it. And it is a helpless feeling, you know, because we have no input. You know, we are an unincorporated territory, which is a fancy way of saying a colony. Mm-hmm. And we are completely at the mercy of Washington. We have we can't vote for president. We have a non-voting delegate in Congress who can't really do much directly, so we're the pawn.
The situation you're facing today, Jefferson, places the Guam Visitors Bureau in a particular bind. What kind of things can they do? Obviously they've got to get out there and say, no, okay, it's okay to come here. But how can they craft a message around that?
Yeah, that's a difficult one, and they are struggling with that. I mean, our tourism numbers have risen steadily over the last couple of years until this happened.
Mm-hmm.
We were at, for months before this, we were at maximum occupancy in our hotels, and we were getting, actually, our visitors from South Korea, those numbers have been rising steadily, and usually... in the past, our Japanese visitor numbers have been the leader, and now South Korea and Japan are about the same, at least before this happened. And now most of our drop off is coming from the Japanese tourism.
You know, Jefferson, this really brings the impact home, doesn't it? When you read
budget wise, you know, this is so important to us. And if it continues like this, this trend continues, we're going to be in real trouble.
Well, you know, the tendency when you read the headlines, especially when they get repetitive the way they have been in the threat back and forth game with North Korea, there's a tendency for the average newspaper reader to sort of have your eyes glaze over, here we go again. But it's very different when you're there on the ground, isn't it?
It sure is. And, you know, it's interesting. We got such an enormous international media response. You know, we had journalists from all over the world here, and for a few days, and poof, they're gone. And now, of course, in the national news, there are a lot of other more important things going on. And I think that's a good thing. I mean, all that negative attention is not necessarily a good thing. On the other hand, you know, we are isolated, and certainly in the States, they pay very little attention to us. And so sometimes, you know, maybe that publicity helps us out a little bit in the long run. I don't know.
Jefferson, looking at your role as a non-voting member in Congress, what's the attitude toward that? I mean, are they resigned to that? You know, as you say, kind of a de facto colony status. Is that resented? Is that accepted? What's the feeling on the ground there?
Well, it's interesting. I think most people. There are efforts to change our political status. Some people are advocating statehood. Some people want independence. free associated state status, that sort of thing. But I think most of the locals would rather have the status quo at this point. But the idea that we are not equal citizens under the United States umbrella, that does bother people a lot. And it's not that we get a lot of benefits from the federal government, you know, and that sort of thing. But still, because we don't have a say, we don't have any input, it is very bothersome. And our political leaders for generations have been working on this and trying to get more of a voice in Washington. But, of course, we're tiny, and that's very, very difficult. Nobody anticipates a change in political status, that's for sure.
Well, there isn't really a clear pathway toward any kind of a change in status that I can see, or is there?
No, not really. I mean, statehood isn't going to happen because we're just so small. That's certain. But and Washington isn't interested in changing status. They have complete control over us, you know. They can do anything they want here. And I think that's the way they want to keep it.
Well, that was kind of my next question. Are there some benefits to being a little bit off Washington's radar?
I think so. It's kind of funny. We have one foot in Asia, one foot in the United States, and our economy is more dependent on the Asian economy than the U.S. economy. Most of our population here are Asians. So it is an interesting, it's a very interesting place to live because of this. It's not going to change. We're, you know, as I'm fond of saying, from Washington's perspective, we're a giant military base. And as long as that base isn't under attack, they're kind of going to, you know, ignore us.
Well, Jefferson, we're not going to ignore you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to check in with you and sort of get the boot on the ground there. And as things change, or even as they continue, we'll hope to check in with you from time to time. But thanks very much.
I'm happy to visit with you anytime. We love telling the Guam story, and especially to our good neighbors in Hawaii.
Well, there's quite a story to tell, Jefferson. Thank you very much.
Hey, thank you.
Jefferson Cronin is the Morning Edition host at KPRG, Guam Public Radio, as well as a professor of communications, English, and humanities at the University of Maryland, University College Asian Division. He has lived in Guam for 23 years.